Hi, this is David Sweet, founder of Focus Core, and I'd like to invite you to take a look at our 2024 salary guide. It's a great resource for hiring APAC professionals wanting to know about the salaries for executive positions within Japan, as well as finding out information of what's important to attract the best talent in Japan. The salary guide is found on our website under About Salary Guide 2024. I hope you find this information useful for you and your company. Now, on to our podcast.
Is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
No, I think it's more like personal choice.
Welcome to the Focus Core podcast. I am here today with Hiroki Kosugi, who is the Director of Business Development for TransPerfect, the world's largest provider of language services and technology solutions. So I've known Hiroki for over 12 years, or 13 years. You've been with TransPerfect for 13 years almost, right?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
So, welcome, Hiroki.
All right, thanks, David. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So, if kind of give us an introduction to you and your path to your current position.
All right, sure. I'm originally from Sapporo, Hokkaido, and I was born and raised there and stayed there until I was 15, finishing up junior high, and I moved to Shizuoka because, until then, my life was about playing soccer, and I was quite okay just in Hokkaido. So I was recruited by a soccer club in Shizuoka Prefecture. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Probably I didn't tell you that. Yeah, but I went there for high school, and that high school is, back then pretty, known for the football club, soccer club. And yeah, in fact, on my second year, we won the national championship back then. And but, I was kind of, good in Hokkaido, but when I went to Shizuoka, I was average. So, I decided, move on somewhere else, and I gave up on my dream to be a professional soccer player. Then, after high school, I joined a company called Saga Express, which is kind of a transportation logistics company, similar to Yamato Express, FedEx, UPS type, business. That was my first professional career. And to be honest, it was very tough, I'd say. Tough physically and mentally. And the company nowadays, I think, operates quite differently than what used to be when I was there. Mm-hmm. But back then, it was really known for, company giving a hard time for employees, in terms of, for example, I average worked almost 15 hours a day and 6 days a week. But that type of toughness and the positive side was, the company back then was, basically evaluating the employees purely based on performance, no seniority, no age, So since I was young and so, and energized, I was, able to perform pretty good. And my performance was pretty good, nicely compensated.
Nice.
So yeah, I like that company. And also that company, even though it was very tough time, gave me some like a basic foundation of, what work should be, what work means, what, making money means. So nowadays, still to this day, I keep that foundation to in my core when it comes to work. I stayed at that company for 5 years, and since I was making quite a good amount of money, even though I was just a high school you know, graduate.
Okay.
So I stayed there for 5 years, but at the end, you know, I got kind of, you know, what is called the burned out.
Okay.
Yeah. And mentally kind of ill. So I quit after 5 years. And then what I did was, you know, with the money saved, I started backpacking. Yeah. This is my first experience in abroad. I was traveling, you know, basically Southeast Asia, New Zealand, China, Nepal, India, and those Middle East countries in Europe. I mean, I didn't plan to do that more than 2 months. Just, you know, trying to refresh my mind and see what world looked like.
Yeah.
But it's caused me so bad. And then I pretty much did it almost a year.
Wow, that's awesome. So yeah. Very rare and wonderful opportunity for you.
Yeah, I mean, wonderful in many ways. You know, like I said earlier, it was pretty much my first time seeing country other than my own country.
Mm.
So I first time in my life saw how the, you know, other country operates and then how Japan looks like from outside.
Yeah.
So that's gave me a, you know, so much new, different and interesting perspectives to me. And yeah, that's
so important, right? Because it's hard to understand your culture until you get outside your culture.
Yeah, exactly. You know, while staying in Japan, you see your country just, you know, the way it is from inside, and then, you know, different perspectives, the, you know, different perspectives. I mean, Japan, totally different. But, you know.
What was your favorite country that you went to?
That's a tough question, but I like New Zealand.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, that's where I first learned English.
Okay.
And before that, I was basically, you know, if you ask me, how are you doing? I probably didn't understand.
Okay.
So, I mean, but beautiful country.
Yeah, I did. When I was in first year university, I did the same thing, took off with backpack and went cruising around the world. And it's just so important, this kind of wanderlust for young people, I think.
Right.
I don't see it as much now, but it seems to me so important to go and visit other people and learn what they're thinking. And you find out a lot of people are just basically like us.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I mean, that experience, you know, made my life 100% different than, yeah, you know, it was before. So,
but how did you end up? Because then you went to the U.S. for school, right?
Yeah, that's the next thing I did after backpacking. And it's you know, during my time in India, I think it was a city called Benares, you know, Varanasi, you know, the Ganges River thing. Yeah, there's a few guys who was also doing backpacking, but he was from Chicago, U.S.
Uh-huh.
And he told me that, you know, in the States, you know, yeah, it's quite common, you know, people going to the university, even like, you know, kind of, you know, late stage of life, like 20s, 30s, even like 40s, 50s to do, you know, education again.
Yeah.
Which is not really the case in Japan.
Yeah.
And I was totally no idea what it looks like, but that, you know, meeting with those guy and hearing about the, you know, how education in the States works,
yeah,
it made me think maybe this is something I should do next thing after backpacking.
Nice.
Yeah, and then after finishing backpacking, yeah, I you know, worked on TOEFL English test to be admitted by the university in the States, and I got it. So I went to a university nearby Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And then I did my undergrad in sports business, by the way. And finishing it up, and I moved to Orlando, Florida for doing my MBA.
Yeah.
Plus master's in sports business again. Yep. Then I finished it in 2010. And interesting, what I learned from my sports business school was sports business isn't my thing.
It's good to know.
Yeah, long story short, but I wanted to make more money than, you know, what typical sports business, you know, can bring. Yeah. So I decided to do something, you know, else, and I was searching for a job. Then a guy named David Sweet.
He's truly.
Yeah, caught my attention, and he introduced me to the company that I've been working for over the last 13 years, TransPerfect.
That's awesome.
Then time flies by, 13 years. Yeah, I got married. I got two beautiful kids, and I also bought a house. Yeah, and
you're set for life. Now you got to sell more.
What?
Now you have to sell more.
Yes, exactly. I'm under 35-year mortgage. So. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I remember when you came back, because I had just returned from Florida as well in Japan. So we kind of had that in common. Exactly. And so we'd
Florida connection.
I one of the things that I think is so important, because we're going to talk a lot about sales today, but I think that one of the things to highlight is that first job out of school is always so important. And I think your job at Sagawa is huge for one, getting that mental toughness, sure, and learning how to really have that resiliency in business.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, again, I mean, I must say I was super lucky, you know, Sagawa Express was there. I mean, I didn't choose it. I mean, my high school teacher, you know, probably introduced that position or that company. I mean, I didn't even know how it looks like. But what I experienced during those 5 years, again, that's, you know, mind blowing. That's the, you know, still the foundation of, you know, my work ethics, my work philosophy, and yeah.
Totally. So let's learn a little bit about your psychology. What position did you play in soccer?
I was more like a flexible, or I was useful for different positions. Probably that's my strength. I didn't focus only one position.
Okay.
Except for goalkeeper, sometimes offense, sometimes defense. But most of the time I play for midfield.
Okay. That's when I did some playing in when I was very, very young, and that's, I always liked that, because you could kind of do a little bit of striking and a little bit of defense, both sides,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I remember back in the day when I introduced you to TransPerfect, and 13 years ago, and you got the job. What didn't you expect when you went in the first day of work, and You went and sat down at your desk. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, back then, what I knew was, you know, the TransPerfect, the company, just opened up the Tokyo office.
Mm.
1 or 2 years prior to I joined the company, and then the manager back then was told me, you know, it's still a small office, and trying to grow and trying to, you know, get new business out of Japan.
Mm.
And then the first day I went into, walked into the office, and there's only one guy in the office. And wow, this is a company, you know, and an office. Yeah, it is an office, but it is only one guy. So I was second guy in the office for a while. And things got a little bit worse, because, you know, the first guy, probably you remember, you know,
we'll skip that part, right?
Anyway, he left company, you know, after a few months I joined. So
yeah,
after that I was pretty much by myself for a while, almost a year, and you know, talking to client over the phone, and other time I talking to the wall to myself. Yeah. Yeah, that's I didn't expect it to happen, but that was the case. Wow. But now, you know, we have like more than 150 people working for the Tokyo office. So 150
huge times.
Yes, bigger than 13 years ago.
Yeah, that's one of the hardest. Mentally, I find, I didn't mind working by myself, but mentally, I think that's one of the hardest things, because you have to keep that motivation going. And
Exactly. And back then, you know, I was hired as a sales, but I also had to do a lot of different things, like accounting things, buying furniture, you know, paying office rent, and going to the bank for, you know, paying a bill, and that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. So let's kind of give some context to our listeners and tell them a little bit about TransPerfect.
Yeah, sure.
TransPerfect and what do they do? And
yeah, sure. I mean, our company TransPerfect, it's headquartered in the States, New York City, and we have an office all over the world, 120 plus offices over the world, and we provide language services. We don't call it translation; we call it language services to the company who strives to grow their business internationally. Then since you know I'm in charge of Japan business, our clients, Japan-based companies who also trying to go business abroad. We help them in terms of language components such as, of course, their websites, their products, their manuals. They need to localize to their target markets in order to, attract the local clients for sure. What we do. To be honest, to some extent, we are a translation company and we provide translation for business interpretation, voiceover, subtitling. But that's not only us. That's a typical traditional translation company does. On top of that, we provide a pretty innovative, cutting edge technologies, language technologies. Our brand is called Global Link.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't go too much details on it, but, that's basically, to make the user, localize their contents, text, voice data localized super efficiently, cutting their turnaround time, cost, human cost.
Yep.
That's, what we focus on. And that's basically what's different us from our competitors.
What's just to put you on the spot, because I this last week I've been playing with ChatGPT, right? That AI, so quite frightening, right? You can say, okay, write me up a job description for CFO, and 30 seconds later it's done, and it's pretty good. Right. You localize a little bit.
Yeah.
And then you say, okay, translate it into Japanese, and it does it.
Yeah, I mean, that's, typically how other competitors see about, innovations, in industry, more specifically machine translation, like Google Translation and DeepL, and even, local Japan-based companies create machine translation engines.
Yep.
But, of course, that's cannibalized. I mean, that, probably killed some of the human translation work for sure.
Yep.
But, the positive side of it is, because people have other tools to localize content efficiently, there are more content that is created for translation, for localization. So our markets over the last few years become maybe 4 or 5 times than before.
Wow.
They have more content. People, business has more content to localize more things to attract the market. So I mean, that's not my idea, but my CEO's idea.
Yeah.
So I follow that. But I mean, of course, technology develops pretty quickly. We have to follow the market changes. But in our industry, again, we are the one who innovates things, creates new technologies, not just following what other people are doing. So we are leading it. So I don't worry about it at all.
That's awesome. So. I mean, you and I were having lunch, and one of the things we were chatting about, that you and I are both passionate about sales, right?
Yes.
And then both of us, I mean, I do recruiting, but so I recruit and sometimes recruiting for salespeople, and you're recruiting for salespeople. And we were talking about it's tough to find a good salesperson. And you're not alone, right? I hear that from a lot of clients. From your point of view, what's so challenging about finding good salespeople?
Yeah, I mean, especially in my case, in our company's case, like I said earlier, our company is, very US-based, you know, centered our products and the services, you know, mainly are first introduced in the States and in Europe. Mm-hmm. And then other sales in Japan, you know, I'm mainly to introduce such, you know, foreign products to Japan market. Mm. So obviously, you know, being a sales here, you know, we need to understand what's going on in the rest of the world, and then you know, getting information on how it works in the advanced market, mm-hmm. and then try to think about how to localize the product, how to adapt, you know, the products for the Japanese, you know, customers, companies see the benefits out of it. Mm. So I mean, especially, you know, when it comes to finding good candidate in this market in Japan, obviously, you know, I think you can tell me more than I do, but that, you know, it's tough to find a bilingual sales for sure. Yeah. Right. That's a first step, but also who can, you know, understand what's the value, you know, it is for sure, but, you know, what value means in our market, in this specific market. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, you know, something you have to be at. I mean, not only for our company, but any like a US or Europe-based tech company who try to do a business here in Japan, like Salesforce, Adobe, face the same issue for sure. Yep. But that's, you know, how I see why it's so difficult to find a candidate.
Yeah, I find that, I mean, globally, it's challenging to teach a salesperson to sell value, right? That's always seems to be one issue. In Japan specifically, traditionally, we've always sold based on contextual relationships. It's about building up a lot, and the value comes over partly the relationship and then over time. And then you trust them and then you buy, but it takes years. And coming from Europe, European and American base, where it's like, just go sell and make it happen.
Yeah, exactly. This month. Exactly. I mean, I don't complain about that. I mean, that's the way it is, you know. But yeah, I mean, that's true. Yeah, some, you know, aspect of this Japanese business is so different from the rest of the world. And then the sales cycle is, you know, much longer, and it takes, you know, a lot of time from knowing clients' prospects to, you know, getting the contract signed. It's longer than I guess it takes in the rest of the world.
Yeah. And you know, TransPerfect is a very cool tech company, right? And it's it's one of the largest privately women-owned companies in the world, right?
It's not women-owned no longer.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but yes, yeah, the privately owned company still.
And so, I mean, talk more about, you know, the things that TransPerfect's doing to stay current and change within the market, because I think that's important for, you know, survival in this day and age, right?
Right. Yeah, I mean, again, the things we introduce to our clients, to our clients, you know, has been changing quite a lot and quite, you know, rapidly. Like, you know, up until, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, our focus was mainly for just translating documents and providing, you know, translation services.
Yep.
But again, I think over 80 or 60% of what we sell, at least in Japan, is more for tech-based, system-based. Plus, we even do provide non-language services nowadays, last few years. For example, like, you know, we started a new division 3-4 years ago called Dataforce.
Okay.
Yeah, which does, you know, provide kind of services of data annotation, data collection for AI products.
Mm.
Like, for example, if your company wants to have, you know, voice interaction machine, like, you know, if you're a car manufacturer, car navigation, you want to communicate with machine by voice, saying something, you know, open the window, for example. You know, we provide training data for those AI machine in 15 languages.
Wow, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, you know, that division actually has been growing so quickly, actually. And yeah, we do those kind of, you know, non-languages and innovative things. And then basically what clients need from us. So yeah, it's tough to catch up even internally, but that's the negative side. But the positive side is we don't need to worry too much about our future, I guess.
That's great.
That's a vision of our CEO and our management.
So let's talk about your career, Hiroki. What's one of the most important lessons you've learned in your career?
I learned a lot of lessons, but probably the best one would be, you know, like many of the senior or like successful sales people in our company, if you stop thinking, learning new stuff about the or you know, developing, growing personally, professionally, you'll be pretty much dead. Yep. So, I mean, I think it's called Darwinism kind of thing, you know? You have to adapt. You need to learn a lot of stuff all the time, constantly. I mean, otherwise, you know, you stay as is and probably the things around you is going to be changing and you're going to be left behind.
Absolutely.
And then similar vein, you know, in order to learn things, you know, you have to be coachable. Mm. I mean, that's another thing I think, you know, the biggest lesson I learned from this, my time in this company, you know, of course, I myself try to be coachable so other people, you know, can give me a great lesson. But I also try to spend time more people with who are coachable. My manager, you know, my subordinates, you know, I like people who are coachable, and that's, I think, important thing.
That's huge. Yeah, I applaud both those because I wholeheartedly, I mean, one of Focus Core's values is self-development, because I just think, like you, if you're not developing your skills, and it's got to be based on what, you know, your services or your product are, you got to be developing that, and then you got to be developing your technical skills and your soft skills on top of that.
Exactly.
I'm always told my employees, so every 6 months you should read a time management book, a motivational book, a sales book, and then one based on kind of industry. And out of those four books, every 6 months, you should be able to stay pretty much just on par with what's going on in the market.
100%. Yeah.
What do you recommend for people to, you know, develop their skills?
Develop your skills. Like you said, reading books and getting information, that's, I think, basics. But to me, equally important is networking skills. Because, you know, and by networking, I mean internal networking and external networking. Like internally, there are a bunch of people around you, maybe in the same office, maybe in the foreign office, who are always better than you are. And who can tell, you know, their success stories, and then you can duplicate on your own. And externally, you know, of course, people like myself and you, you know, and then, clients, even like competitors, prospects, you know, I encourage, you know, proactively attending, you know, networking events, even not, you know, directly making your business better. It might make your personal life better. So knowing people, yeah, I think that's, I think, key to learn new techniques and then industry trends and what markets needed. That's, you know.
That's great.
What do I advise? Yeah, networking.
Yeah. I stress the importance of networking internally as well. We always think about external networking. I think a lot of people forget the importance of networking internally as well.
Especially this, you know, COVID environment.
Yep.
You know, like you are right now, people work from home and it gives you a tough time to chat with your colleagues you know, we have online tools like Zoom, like we are doing right now, and that helps you connect with the colleagues and even like, you know, colleagues in other countries. Super easy.
Yep. What, so for salespeople to be successful, what's the most important personality traits that you think people should have?
Like coachability, I said, is also an important thing. And another thing that comes to my mind is, well, it's not really specified to salespeople, but, you know, I think business individuals in general, I think that applies. But there are basically two things, you know, which is, you know, one, you know, there is something you cannot have a control over.
Mm.
On the other side, there are things that you have a control over. And quite frankly, I think, you know, oftentimes even myself, spend too much time and energy and wasting it on things you have no control over.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, good salespeople, good businessmen, I think are good at, you know, more on, focusing more on, you know, what they can, they have a control over, like, and what they're going to do with it.
Mm.
That's, I think, you know, very, very, you know, important thing for the business person, especially for sales to be successful. Like, you know, in the sales instance, of course, you know, you have managers and clients, but, you know, what's, you know, the manager demands on you, and what's goal they set to you, probably you don't have control over. You know, some people, me sometimes too, you know, think too much about, oh my gosh, this is my goal, no way I can hit it.
Yeah,
I mean, but instead of doing that, you know, think about what you can do to meet those goals, and then, you know, think about the strategies and then what your daily activity should look like. Those are the things, you know, you can control, and you can make difference by how you act on it. So my advice, you know,
that's great.
On what you can change on your own.
Yeah, I think, being able to see that and act on what you can control is the crux to being successful in business, especially in sales. I had Ray Chandler, Steve Chandler is a motivational coach and teacher. And one of the sales things he used to say, which I thought was so good, was take your target that your boss gives you, double it, and then you figure out how to do it when you're doubling it, and it makes you think laterally and creatively how to do something, and you'll think differently and act differently because you can control that thought process. Because if you think, okay, your boss gives you a and you think, oh, that's really hard to do, but then you double it to 40 and you figure out actually how to do 40, then 20 is much easier, right?
Yes, for sure. I mean, that's kind of, you know, ties to, you know, sales is about the probability game.
Yeah.
You know, it's all about numbers and but especially, you know, when you try to get your goals hit, you know, you have to be very careful about, you know, what you spend your time and energy on to maximize the probability of closure. Yeah, that's, you know, I think very important lesson that the salespeople should know.
Along the same lines, what's something that you think everyone should learn at some point in their life?
Life. that's a bigger topic. Let me think of. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's pretty much sums up what I just, you know, told you, but. Yeah, don't satisfy the status quo, and you know, always look for what's to achieve in the future, and focus on what you can do right now to hit those goals. I mean, I mean, I've been in the sales maybe a little bit too long and thinking about, you know, always growth minded and I trying to be, you know, that person. So.
It's awesome. I got I got a couple more questions for you. The first one is, I'm going to give you some rapid fire questions. I always like ending with some rapid fire questions. Just keep you on your toes. Come up with the first answer you got. Okay. So I'm going to give you some of those.
It's like an atomic bomb thing, isn't it?
Yeah. You ready? Ready? Yes. This is going to be rapid.
Okay.
What's your favorite day of the week?
Friday.
Nice. Happy. It is Friday today too.
It is Friday today. Yes.
What's the last song you downloaded?
Elvis Presley, I think it's called Can't Fall in Love with You, I think.
That's a good one. Nice one. Can't go wrong with Elvis. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good a driver are you?
Drive? 5. Not really good. I mean, I got the time accidents sometimes. Not really good.
You're from Hokkaido. You got a lot of space, right?
Right, exactly.
Okay, for superpower, invisibility or super strength?
Super strength.
Ah, good one. And is it wrong for a vegetarian to eat animal crackers?
No, I think it's more like personal choice.
Okay, nice. Thank you, Hiroki-san. Those are awesome. What's one thing that I should have asked you that I didn't know enough to ask you today?
Maybe, you know, hoping that some of the newcomer to my company or like someone who are expected to join this company, my company, maybe, you know, you ask me what's your advice to them.
Nice. So what's your advice to them?
My advice is, you know, especially sales career, especially in my company, in Transperfect, you know, it takes some time to for you to see success. So, you know. Be patient, you know, Rome might not build in one day. If you want to build your empire, it takes some time, and especially sales, your job starts pretty much from nothing, scratch. You have to, you know, build your network, build your clients, and I would say it typically takes 2 to 3 years at least. So know about that, and don't quit too soon.
Yep.
And you know, I think, you know, if I buy to start a new position, don't quit for 3 years. And if you don't see any success 3 years, maybe it's okay to move on. But 1 or 2 years, unless you're a superstar, you know, it's going to take some time. So be patient. That's my.
Yeah, I applaud that. Yeah, I think it takes 3 years to get anywhere within sales. And then, actually, good salespeople tend not to move much anyway because they've built their empire and they've taken the 3 years to build their empire.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's so true. I mean, I think, you know, that's fair to think, you know, if you move to new role, you have to everything from scratch all over again. I don't think it's good things to do if you are successful with that kind of position.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Hiroki-san. Well, I know that. A little bit of a commercial here. TransPerfect is hiring for salespeople. We'll have a link to Hiroki, and feel free to reach out to him if you want to become a sales superstar on Hiroki's team. And please make sure to give us a 5-star rating wherever you listen to our podcast. But Hiroki-san, thank you for joining me today. It's been very insightful and wonderful to chat with you.
Thank you, Paul, David. For talking to you all the time. Down.